It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, a conversation with the director of the Cranard Art Museum, Joseph Helfenstein, about artist Louise Bourgeois. Although she spent more than half of her career in relative obscurity, she's regarded as one of the most important American artists of the 20th century. And an exhibition of her early works is open through August 4th at the Cranard Art Museum in Champaign-Urbana. It features work produced during the 1940s and 1950s. It includes sculptures, paintings, and prints. Joseph Helfenstein is the author of the catalog that accompanies the show, and I'm very happy to have him with me in the studio this afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
In an artist statement that you include in the catalog, we have Louise Bourgeois saying, 18th century painters made conversation pieces. My sculptures might be called confrontation pieces. What has she been interested in confronting through her work?
I think what's interesting and new in her early work is, and this can be seen in the exhibition, is that her pieces engage the viewer. They're not just pieces that can be meditated from outside, so-called. It's an installation rather than pieces that are shown, sculptures that are shown on pedestals, for example, or on bases. They're really put on the floor and they act like human beings in a way. So they do represent human presences and human beings that she has had left behind. And I think another thing that is interesting with her standing sculptures in the show is they really create this strange, mysterious dialogue. They have this evocative power, a strange power that is interesting.
Yeah. She calls them personages, right?
Yes. And that has, of course, to do with her French background. First, she was born in France and moved to New York in 1938, married an American art historian. But of course, this has to do with her dealing with her own past, with her own childhood, with her history, with her feelings when she arrived in the United States. And that's why she called them personages.
Yeah. This is another statement from the artist. My childhood has never lost its magic. It has never lost its mystery, and it has never lost its drama. All my work of the last 50 years, all my subjects have found their inspiration in my childhood. Tell us a little bit more about her childhood and its impact on her as an artist.
Well, she was, like every artist, or many artists have taken their childhood very seriously or have dealt with their childhood in their work, but she was, maybe in that sense, she was unique because she had a strange childhood. She grew up in this family with two siblings. Her father had an intimate relationship with a tutor, an English tutor, a young English woman who was supposed to teach her English. And that marked her and has always been exploited a lot in her by art critics and so on. I think it's not that important, but of course it's a very important event in her life. But her work should not be reduced to this kind of episode. In any case, her biography has always she always used the reservoir of her biography in a very in a very deep way, and I think her whole work is in a way a path, a relentless and very obsessive path of self-exploration in a way.
I'd like to give the audience a better understanding of what these pieces look like, the sculptures look like, because a lot of people will be unfamiliar with her work.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some sense of what they look like?
Yeah, they look like standing figures. They are standing vertical pieces that are about the height of an average human figure, human person. They are very little decorated. They're almost not decorated at all. They're very primitive in a way, primitivistic. They have few details, almost no decoration. They are painted. They were carved from wood in the late 40s and early 50s. And she painted them with few colors, red, white, and black, I believe. And then in the late 50s, she started to cast them into bronze. And what we have in the show are mostly bronzes, but also wooden pieces from the late 40s and 50s. So I think the verticality, this kind of standing feature of the figures, does not only refer to the human figure, but also to architecture. And that's another interesting thing. She's the only artist I know who used the roof of her house as a studio. She really worked on the roof of her house, of her apartment building in Manhattan, in the middle of this impressive skyscraper landscape, and that is still reflected in her pieces.
Yeah, you said that they are, they reflect kind of a primitivism, but also they seem very, very modern. And yet also they remind me of a modern contemporary kind of totem pole.
Oh, I think that's very right. I think they are kind of totemic representations of people. And I mean, this totem thing is very important because that's something that she is not the only one to have been very interested at that time. Because like the painters of the New York School, Gottlieb and Rothko and Newman and all these people were very intensely dealing with North American Indian art, for example, totem poles and non-Western art in general. And she's, of course, part of that generation too. And even more obvious, her husband was an art historian and an important Africanist. He studied African art and became later in the 60s became the first director of the Museum of African Art in New York.
Yeah. Well, there are photographs in the catalog of her on her roof in Manhattan, and then there are catalogs of the family at their home in the countryside in Connecticut. And these pieces seem at home in both landscapes.
I think that's what makes her work unique. I think, and maybe only a woman could have made this contribution to art in the 20th century, because she didn't tolerate to make a separation between her work here, her work as an artist, and her daily life as a mother and as a wife. And in that sense, she was very radical. She integrated her artistic work into her daily life, and I think that's one of the reasons why she's considered today and admired today by many generations of artists all over the world as one of the leading figures.
Mm. And who has been influenced by her work?
Oh, many, many, many people. Many, many artists. And maybe, I mean, influenced is one thing, but I think the even more important influence of her is her attitude, maybe also her outsider status, because she never did belong really to a movement. That's one of the reasons why she was forgotten for decades. She was discovered when she was more than 70 years old. She had her first important show when she was 71. But she was the first woman artist to have a one-person show at the Museum of Modern Art. That was in 1982. And from then on, it exploded. She became very famous, and today she's everywhere.
Yeah.
Her work is everywhere,
right.
I should say.
Now, this show features her work from the 40s and the 50s. I wonder, and she wasn't really discovered, so to speak, mm-hmm. until the 80s. I wonder what she was up to in the 60s and 70s.
Well, she always was very productive. She showed her work in galleries in New York. Artists were aware of her work over decades, so she wasn't completely forgotten at all, but the big public and critics and curators didn't really, I think, underestimate it and didn't understand her work for a long time, which has changed in the meantime. But so in a way, she was always an artist for other artists, but not for the big public. Today, it's strangely different. She's very popular and very, very present all over the world.
And what is she doing today? What kind of work is she doing today? Is she still working?
She's working every day except Sunday. I have seen her 2 months ago in her studio and in her apartment, and she's very active. It's very impressive to see her. She's a very impressive person anyway. She works mostly with fabrics today. She does sculptures and has a seamstress, which helps her to do the work in her basement. And so she's very, very present, but she never shows up in the art world. Mm-hmm. Only her work is visible. Mm-hmm. She's not visible mm-hmm. as a person.
The sculptures to me are so compelling, but also in this exhibition, there are paintings and prints included. How do the paintings and prints fit together with the sculptures?
I think the prints fit very well together if you compare the forms. There are also these structures, these sometimes high-rise kind of primitive building-like structures, and then also the texts that she has written are very evocative, very Kafka-esque mm-hmm. almost, dark, kind of melancholic. The paintings are more separate maybe from the rest of her work because, and also much lesser known. Some of the paintings have never been shown in public. It's the first time here in Champaign-Urbana that we show them. I think the drawings too relate to the sculpture, so it all relates to each other in a way.
Mm, sounds wonderful. I want to thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Joseph Helfenstein has been our guest this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. He's the director of the Krannert Art Museum here at the University of Illinois. An exhibition of the early work of Louise Bourgeois runs through August 4th at the Krannert Art Museum.